about.
Hold on a second! What's wrong with you? What? Jumping in like that?
What do you mean?
You know I do the intro.
Since when?
Since always.
Well, I don't like that policy. I think it's time for a change.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Good afternoon, Covenant B. This is a quote from the great Coven writer. It's weird to see people jump from are not positive what the answer is to, must be, you know, infallible word of God, or, you know, and terrorists, you know, situations, or UFOs, you go, it's unidentified, so you must be alien, you go, no, it's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to. Thank you.
And now.
Hey, Lisa, have you ever let Steve hit it?
Our feature presentation.
Good question.
I'm sorry. Have I ever let who?
Steve.
Steve.
Because Bean always says, hit it, Steve.
Hit it, Steve. All the time.
Right.
What, are you kidding me? That's where that whole thing came from.
All right. Good.
Oh, Steve's a lucky guy.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 30th of September.
What's going on, you guys? How's everybody?
Everybody's good.
You know, thug life.
Everybody's here?
Sure.
On time?
Yes.
Ready to work? Ready to give that 50 to 60% of our full attention that we do every day on the Chucklehead Show?
Yes, definitely.
Kevin, you've got, what are they called? Kids.
Yeah.
And they play soccer.
Yes.
So you've been to your fair share of kids' soccer games.
More than my share, I would say.
And I would say the general consensus among parents who go to soccer games is that their kids are the only decent athletes on the field and other parents are idiots and the coaches don't know what they're doing. Would you say that's about right?
Yeah, I would say the parents are the worst part about that whole situation.
Yeah.
Well, then you will enjoy this story because this comes out of Lebanon in southwest Ohio. They have had similar experiences in the league down there and they are trying an experiment which is called silent soccer. Have you heard
really?
Of this?
No.
Silent soccer. Parents and fans have been forewarned. There's no shouting, no encouraging screaming, no comments to the players allowed during the games. You are allowed to clap, but no whistling, no other noisemakers. Team coaches also have been told to keep their shouted instructions to a minimum. Parents can hold up signs. They can wave towels, but no talking to the players during the game or yelling at the coaches. Apparently, they've had a string in that league of games that have had to end early due to unruly and verbally abusive parents.
Sweet.
Tell me about what that's like. What have you seen? I mean, people just get too wrapped up in what? In how the play is going? What the coaches are doing?
Most of the time, it's like one of the kids just runs over another one. Most of the time, it's an accident, but they see it as on purpose.
Yeah.
And
right.
So they get angry because the other team's being mean. I've had a woman come over to the team, which is all the way across the field, and talk to the entire team and threaten them all.
Wow.
Yes.
Leave my kid alone, that sort of thing?
No, no, no. You know what? We play you guys at our place next time, and it's going to be a little different.
Oh.
And I actually spoke up. I was like, hey, you're talking to little kids here. Why don't you go ahead and move along? It was crazy.
Most parents have adjusted to the quieter sideline ambience. Others don't like it, by the way. A lot of people don't like it. They're like, hey, this is, you know, that's half the fun of coming is being able to, you know, cheer on your kids. But overall, the kids like it. The kids say that they're able to hear their teammates more, that they don't hear mean comments from the crowd that other parents are saying about them, for instance. Apparently, kids are fairly tuned into some of the stuff that's being yelled from the sideline.
Oh, and that happens a lot, too, where the other parents are talking to your team.
Yes, that's the cause of most of the problems between parents is, hey, don't talk about my kid.
Right, know? Exactly.
So I don't know. What do you think about this?
I don't know.
It would feel terrible. It would be weird to go to a sporting event and have to be quiet. I know that, but you understand what they're trying to do. Right, exactly.
That's it. Like, that's the whole thing. Yeah, I understand what they're trying to do, but that's absurd.
Is it absurd?
Yeah, it's crazy.
If the kids like it and they have had problems with verbally abusive parents that have had to make games end early.
I would say teams with those kind of parents should have this rule. But for the most part, it's not like that.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's just you root for your own team. You yell for your kids. That, you know, you go crazy when they score. Everything's fine. You're not addressing the other team. You're not talking to the other parents or the other coach or anything. I mean, I think for the most part, it's like that. So, well, but if you've got a team that has that reputation, then maybe they need alone.
Maybe that we will keep an eye on this and see if this is something that's going to catch on. I've only seen it here in Southwest Ohio, but who knows if it's successful there? Who knows what they'll do with it? But now we know about it.
Yep. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Is that about butt sex?
I don't think so, but we can add that to the schedule if you'd like. We do have a spokesman from the Church of Superheroes.
Wasn't it just a matter of time?
Matter of time, correct. Church of Superheroes. And I do not believe they're referring to God, by the way.
Yes.
People do love their superheroes.
Yes, they do.
So these are people who look at Superman and they go beyond just entertainment. They go, I believe in Superman as an ideal, and I am going to use his teachings to live my life.
Could be, yeah. I don't know. I have many questions for them. But anyway, we're going to talk to them today. We also have Steve Aoki coming into the studio.
Oh, he's awesome.
One of the biggest DJs in the world. He's got a brand new album out today, and it's fantastic. Talk about a new app for people who just want to cuddle.
Aw.
Yeah. Aw. Except for I don't trust any guy that's on that app. I don't know why. I just feel like guys are not hardwired to cuddle for the most part.
Well, these guys are softwired, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll talk about that. And we'll talk about the Bean Baxter sound hoarder.
How dare you?
A little bit later on this morning's...
That's my job, is to be the keeper of the sounds.
Yes, it is. But I think you have a little problem. I think we need a team to come into the house and look around it, and then like a sociologist or a psychologist sit down with you and talk to you into parting with some of it.
I'm going to end up on the news with all these guys in hazmat suits that you see carrying computers out of the house and putting them in a van.
Yep. We've got to clean it up. There's got to be a place to walk. You can't get to the restrooms. You know, that kind of thing. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
That means it's time for our friend Ralph Garman, who steps in with our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. What's up, Ralph?
Tuesdays are new release days.
Yeah, they are.
Here's what you can get. New CDs. Steve Aoki's got a new CD out called Neon Future 1 or Neon Future I. I can't read this writing. But either way, there's neon and there's future involved. That's all you need to know. Queen of the Clouds by Tovlo.
Oh.
Tovlo.
We love her.
We love her.
She was great. She's adorable.
Art Official Age by Prince. Well, I'm glad he's back to making titles that make no goddamn sense whatsoever. So Art Official Age. Hesitant Alien by Gerard Way. And the first Christmas CD of the season, as far as I can tell, is out. Holiday for Swing.
Nope. Nope. Kids do not like that.
By Seth MacFarlane.
Oh.
Oh, what do you think now, Kevin? What do you now, Mr. Jumpy Jumpy Conclusion Boy?
Well, I thought Bean was just applauding because it has something to do with Christmas, you know, as he does. But Seth MacFarlane's
doing all swing holiday songs.
It's good. I mean, obviously, we've heard him sing before. We know he's talented. It's standards, but it's good.
Bean heard it.
Why are you shaking your head?
Because it just came out. You're like, oh, well, I'm so tired of that story. I've been listening to that for years.
I'm not tired of it, but I do have my Christmas connections, and I have had a copy for a couple of months. And you know, I love Seth, and I love Christmas music, so I'm just putting in a big thumbs up, and I hope our listeners will get it.
Pizza first!
Oh, I shouldn't mention if I've heard it. I shouldn't say, hey, it's good, go get it.
Pizza first!
Keep that to myself.
I have Christmas connections, and I've had it for months.
Come on. You know there's not a holiday underground,
that's
Ralph.
That's not braggy-braggy at all over nothing that anyone cares about.
You were mocking me for saying that I heard it.
That's what does it mean?
Dude, there's a deep black market on trading Christmas stuff, man.
Wow.
I have to explore this.
I'm in a ring.
I bet you are.
It's just a social club.
It's a little brown ring.
We all love Seth. And we all support his projects, and this is another one, and it's good. That's all I'm saying.
I wish that was all you're saying, but sadly it's not.
It literally is all I'm saying.
Pizza first!
Wasn't it all you're saying? More about you on the cutting edge of the Christmas world.
Christmas Underground.
DVDs, Transformers, Age of Extinction. I think we have a Transformer.
Yeah.
Today. Chef. All right, Lisa.
I'm excited about that.
Jon Favreau and Sofia Vergara.
Yep.
Third Person, starring Adrian Brody, James Franco, and Liam Neeson. Cold in July. Michael C. Hall and Sam Shepard. That looks great. I'm sorry, I missed that in theaters. I'm looking forward to checking that out.
That's the one where he plays a bad guy, killer guy, right?
No. He plays a husband of someone who is killed, and he has to go into the backwoods of Arkansas or something and find out what's going on with those people.
Vengeance.
Yeah, vengeance will be his. TV on DVD. 24, Live Another Day, if you missed that.
All right.
Check that out on DVD. Snooki just had another baby.
Yes!
New mom of daughter Giovanna.
All right.
Is tweeting her motherhood tips to other mothers. Motherhood is just not sexy, she tweets. Sore nipples, wearing Depends, taking stool softeners, and chugging prune juice.
Okay.
Oh, I don't need to think about Snooki.
We don't need any of that.
In that light at all.
That is some serious oversharing.
No kidding.
They say it was a dicey pregnancy and delivery. The baby was whisked away immediately after doctors saw that she was in desperate need of a spray tan. So they rushed her to a spray tan facility, and the baby and mother apparently are both doing fine. So that's good news.
Too much information and man.
And it's been a while since we heard Amanda Bynes in the news. Sadly, she's back in it.
Uh-oh.
TMZ.com reports that she was popped for a DUI after stopping her Mercedes right in the middle of an intersection in the San Fernando Valley.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sounds like she is off the reservation.
Not ideal.
Want.
Oh, Lisa, you're so mean.
It was very sad. Was that your reaction yesterday when you heard the news? It was very sad.
Yeah. She was disheveled at the time of her arrest. Her appearance, apparently, she's all over the place. Officer determined she was under the influence of something. He thought it was a stimulant. Toxicology tests are underway, so we have to wait and see. But it seemed like she had been pulling herself together, but looks like she's smoking pot once again, according to insiders, and there's something going on there. So.
It's too bad.
She's off her meds or something, but drag. Today's celebrity birthdays. A ton of people born today, September the 30th. Starting with T-Pain, you know, he's 29 years old today. Kieran Culkin of the acting Culkin family is 32. Lacey Chabert, she was on Party with Five. Now she's all grown up. 32 years old today, Marion Cotillard.
Bonkers.
Stop it.
Stop what?
She does not have bonkers eyes. She
bonkers.
Has beautiful, beautiful chestnut eyes.
Not saying she's not beautiful. I'm not saying she's... She doesn't have beautiful chestnut eyes, but...
Bonkers.
A little bonkers. 39 years old today. Jenna Elfman's 43 years old. Actor Tony Hale is 44. Trey, a fish, is 50 years old today. Monica Bellucci, also 50 years old. Eric Stoltz is 53. Fran Drescher is 57. And actor Barry Williams, you know him better as Greg from the Brady Bunch. He's 60. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. That's the Arctic Monkeys. Why you only call me when you're high?
We had them in last month performing live on the show. It was a lot of fun. Weezer is going to be here this Friday performing live. Their new album comes out next Tuesday. Very excited about that. And all this week here on K-Rock, we are hooking you up with tickets for Six Flags Magic Mountains Freight Fest. Yes, it's that time of year again. You know, tomorrow's the 1st of October, you guys. Got them for you every hour today on K-Rock, so keep on listening. Get your details at K-Rock.com.
J-Lo was rear-ended. Jennifer Lopez.
Yes.
Driving in a car with Leah Remini, who was driving, oddly enough, and got hit by a drunk driver.
And the reason it was odd is that it was J-Lo's car.
Right.
Yeah. So they get rear-ended, and then the drunk driver tries to make his escape, tries to get away.
Flee the scene.
I believe her ass tracked him down. I'm not positive exactly.
I didn't hear too much about the story except what Ralph mentioned yesterday in the showbiz beat. Did they catch the person that hit her?
Well, let's ask her. We do have we have a good relationship with J-Lo's ass.
Oh, J-Lo's ass is on the phone?
Yeah. We her ass all the time.
Right.
Occasionally,
wow,
it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Let's say hi to J-Lo's ass. Hi.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. It's been a while.
It has been a while. What's up?
Well, you've been very busy. It seems like J-Lo's been taking you everywhere. You've been doing this American Idol thing, and you've been touring and doing all sorts of videos and albums, and you've been very busy.
As opposed to before when she didn't take me everywhere? Like, lately I've been busy because I'm going with her finally?
No. I just mean it's been an exceptionally hectic time in her life, so I'm therefore, I mean, you've probably been on a lot of planes and a lot of late hours and stuff like that.
Yeah, Jenny's been so busy. I just couldn't be happier for her. I'm so proud of all the work she's putting in, really.
Oh, good. Well, can you tell us from your perspective what happened with this accident? I'm a little sketchy on the details.
From my perspective, it was dark.
So you couldn't see much.
Couldn't see really much of anything.
All right.
But I do remember getting struck from behind.
Right.
And not in the way Jenny usually gets struck from behind.
Understood.
I'm used to that. I get used to that a lot.
Sure.
Remember
all right.
Diddy? Remember Diddy?
Oh, yeah.
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 Those were bad times for me.
Yeah, I bet you got wrecked.
Ugh. Why do you got to be so creepy, man?
Yeah, man.
Wait, hold on. A butt is calling me creepy?
That's
yes.
Right. Yeah, a butt's calling you creepy.
Okay.
Own it, man. You're creepy.
All right, so you're...
I'm in the car.
Okay.
And I'm in the passenger seat.
Right.
Next thing, bam, just feel like this just jarring smash from the back. And I was like, oh, no, some drunk fool just tagged us in the rear in our new whip.
He said that?
I did. I said that.
Wow.
And I said, hashtag, curse that fool out. Hashtag, the Bronx came out. Hashtag, don't mess with my coconuts. Hashtag, mama bear. Hashtag, Leah, stay calm. Hashtag, that was weird. Hashtag, don't drink and drive.
Are you sure this wasn't just something that Jennifer Lopez was tweeting?
I told her to tweet it.
Oh, you did? Okay,
you were giving her the word. Okay, I got
you. I was dictating the tweet.
I see.
Because
wow.
I don't have thumbs.
I
write it myself. I'm not on Twitter much.
I didn't realize that was part of your job, was to help her tweet.
Well, it is, but in this particular case, I was like, girl. She was all like, yes. And I said, you better get on the phone and start hashtagging some things.
Right.
And so we did, and then so...
Oh, wow, what happened?
Sorry, Jenny just turned around. I just knocked over a bookcase.
Oh, wow.
It's not surprising I got tagged from the rear because this... I get into a lot of accidents.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
Because every time, you know, she turns around to look at something.
Oh, again.
Yeah, it's knocked over a planter.
Wow.
Oh, no.
I take up some room.
You do.
Yeah, it's kind of like a dog when he's got a cone on his head. And he just keeps running into all the furniture because he just can't figure out where everything goes.
Okay.
I'm just saying that.
I don't see it, but who am I to say?
Maybe you've never seen a dog with a cone. You okay? Oh, J-Lo's ass. Come on. Oh, we don't. This is not. Come on.
Although points for length.
J-Lo's ass? I smell another Marconi Award.
Yeah, I smell something else.
Please don't ever say that we rubbed off on Beer Mug, Lisa. Don't
Sorry.
Ever. Seriously.
Those are not words we want to hear.
Choose your words more carefully. Ooh. All right, why is Ralph in here? I feel like I'm about to be ganged up on again. What's happening?
No. Well, we see a friend with a problem.
Yep.
He's a hoarder.
A little intervention.
Mm-hmm. Our friend is a hoarder.
We have a friend who's a hoarder.
Right. And so occasionally what happens on that show, The Hoarders, if you ever watched it, is the friends get together maybe. Sometimes they bring in a psychiatrist.
And
a trash bag.
A trash bag. And they clean stuff out a little bit.
Let's help make your way so you can get around your home a little bit. You can work your way back to the fridge. You can start putting groceries in the cabinets. Let's get you back to some sort of normalcy.
Okay, but your complaint is that I am hoarding sound, and that's what I don't understand. Like, how can there be too much sound available at our fingertips to play on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Bean Baxter, sound hoarder,
is the name of this feature.
Not bad.
Now, you have so much nonsense. Let's be honest. There's a lot of stuff that you play sometimes where it's perfect, and it's funny, and it adds to the show.
Okay.
Not everything you have, I don't think, is maybe necessary.
Yeah, I think we can make some room in your in your catalog there.
For
some new, more relevant sound bites.
You know how you have no memory of your childhood? Maybe it's because you're trying to remember all the sound that you have. Maybe this will free up some memory.
Oh, I see. So this is better for me personally as well as professionally.
Yeah, like yesterday when you said, oh, this is my last time to play this audio. And you played a clip about a woman complaining that George Clooney wasn't married when he had just gotten married over the weekend.
Okay. Seems reasonable.
We can let that go. We can let that clip go now that he's married, right? We can put that in the perfect time. Delete basket.
Oh, no one stays married forever. Come on.
Yeah, but you don't need to hold on to
audio
forever.
That'll come back around.
Maybe, well, if he ever does, you can find some new audio to address that issue.
All right, I heard you complain about this yesterday, and I've got about 15,000 sound bites.
Holy
wow!
I can't possibly remember all that.
So
he
I don't.
Does, and that's
don't.
Why and he's got crap in like the Hindenburg.
And 98% of them are never ever played on the radio. But I did scroll through a couple of hundred last night, and I pulled a few out that I thought maybe you could put me on the right path. Let me know if these are the sorts of things that need to be gotten rid of.
Did you say 15,000?
Yes, about 15,000, yeah.
Unbelievable.
For instance, I don't know when this would come up, but I do have this Jeopardy clip if we need it.
Invented in 1919, it's controlled with the hands. Judy.
What is a theremin?
Theremin, yes.
Now, how about that one?
No. We don't need that ever.
Even if there's a story about Jeopardy and the theremin, we don't need that.
No.
So you would say that's a go?
Make some room.
That one is not necessary.
All right. Here's one from, if I recall correctly, from an internet roundup Batman parody. I've never used this one, but I have had it at the ready.
That head wound has got to be taking its toll because you are making zero sense.
Well, need it, don't need it.
I get you're making fun of Batman because you can't understand what he says. I get that.
That was from the parody video. But that's the kind of clip that I pulled.
And
I thought
the funny Batman parodies he did,
right?
Yeah. Based on the Christopher Nolan Batman movies that came out.
Exactly.
Years
so
ago.
I pulled that clip. Have never used it.
Never
Is that
will.
Something I'll never need?
Let go. Let go. Let yes. God.
Here's the thing. I think a pretty good guideline is: have you used it? Because there's a lot of stuff you said.
Have you come close to using it?
Have you ever
had the urge of using it? Did you know it existed? Did you know you had it?
I don't think any of these clips that I pulled for you last night have been on the air in at least a year, maybe more.
All right.
How about this one? I don't know. I know we don't do a lot of cancer, fighting cancer PSAs. But in case we ever do, we got this.
Roll your nuts. Don't be such a putz. Who wants cancer on their bollocks? Grab your sack and roll your nuts.
It's catchy.
That's something we haven't used in a while, but what do you think? Save that? Let go of that.
Oh, yeah. Hold on to that one.
Hold that one.
That's a good
that's
one.
That's a gem.
Yeah. How about this, you guys?
Got a guy doing testicular ball check. That's good.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So that's one I could keep.
Yep.
How about a very talented, that guy, whoever it was who did that. Would you say, Ralph?
I think he's handsome. I don't know if he's talented.
How about this one? I don't know that I've played this in a couple of years since the movie Planet X was out, but do you remember this guy?
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean from the world-famous K-Rock. Can we please talk about this insanity in Pasadena last night? It looked like the greatest party I have ever seen.
Big Boy's neighborhood, beautiful day.
And then Big Boy goes on and he does it right. What do you think about that that clip from Planet X?
I don't know what that means or what it was.
It was the movie that we did a voice in.
You were a voice in a movie?
And it was both of us,
Project X. I think it was called Project X. That's what it was called. Yeah, not Planet. Yeah.
It was
the one about that house party that got out of control and hundreds of people showed up.
Kevin
was a voice on the radio.
So Bean and I both cut a bunch of lines and then they just used mine, which cracks me up.
They teamed up with Big Boy?
Uh-huh.
Which is what you've always wanted, really.
I don't know how that'll come in handy because I don't make any mistakes.
Yeah, it's not bad, really. It's not bad enough to be good. It's just boring.
I don't know how you would ever use that.
Let that go.
I don't either. But it does feel – I mean, you're in a major motion picture, and I feel like that's the type of thing that we ought to have audio on.
No. Why? I don't see it.
It's not like that No Rain Blind Melon junk from the OC. That was magical.
That was gold. Everyone will let that go.
Thank you, Lisa. What's this feature again? What are we doing here? What's this called?
We're doing Bean Baxter Sound Hoarder.
All right, here's another one. You tell me if we'll ever need this.
Bean Baxter.
Oops, sorry. What happened?
I don't know. I just started trying to do it again.
All right,
go ahead. Okay.
I hope you like these rhymes. I hope you like my flow. I love you in those shorts with that camel toe.
No, what the hell's wrong with you?
I don't even remember.
I don't either. Why do you have it?
What? I assume it was probably from an internet roundup video, and I thought it was funny, I guess.
Okay, you don't have to think that everything you think is funny you have to own? You have to put it in a digital file and hold on to it?
Have you ever played that one? I don't believe so.
You really are a hoarder.
He's a hoarder.
But 15,000 of these, you have a problem.
Bean Baxter has a problem.
But what if Ralph were doing a story about a celebrity who was involved in some sort of a camel toe photo news item? Wouldn't that be great to be able to push a button and have that?
Let's pretend about any one of those clips. Right. What if Ralph does a story one day about stucco falling off a wall and lands on a small lizard, and that lizard ends up sticking to someone's shoe? I've got a clip for that.
We're saying maybe you have too much. Maybe you would simplify your life a little bit if you would get some.
How about this one? This came from a listener. We loved it at the time. I got to be honest. I haven't found a lot of ways to work it in.
Yeah, but that's different. Cast eye all the time.
Remember her?
No.
And why would you ever use that?
Yeah, but that's different. Cast eye all the time.
We thought she was hilarious, if you'll recall.
Okay,
then
because one thing was funny doesn't mean you have to break it up into little digestible sound bites.
Yeah, without context, I don't even understand what she's...
You would never use that. What's wrong with you?
Maybe get rid of that one.
How about when Farrah Abraham's son put out a song? Remember Teen Mom song? We decided that that was the most auto-tuned song in the history of auto-tune, remember?
Right, but you can't make out what's going on there. You can't hear anything.
Here's my thoughts on that. It drives Ralph crazy when we play the wrong clips for music.
Yes.
So I say keep.
But that was not fun enough really to stand in that list when you play those things.
Yeah, well, we do have a lot of better ones.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You would never go to that one.
All right, a couple more.
We're trying to clean out the house, Kevin. We're not trying to keep stuff in the house.
Cleaning out Bean Baxter's house.
I like how Kevin does it because Kevin is like when you go to clean out your closet at home and right. Everything you pull out you haven't used in 5 years, you go, yeah, but I might need this coonskin cap one day.
I got that Flo-Bee. I might want to try cut my own hair.
All right, I believe this was Jeremy Irons, if I'm not mistaken.
Could a father not marry his son?
Okay, it was Jeremy Irons. Why do you have it?
Do I not need that?
No!
That was an interview that he did, right?
But in what context would we need it?
I don't know.
When we do that big hot topic of fathers marrying their sons,
I really don't know when. I don't know when I would use it, but I heard that. I thought that it sounds like something I should save.
Why?
You save everything. That's the issue here because
you
are
illness.
Bean Baxter sound hoarder.
I will say that it is increasingly impossible for me to watch television anymore without immediately running over and grabbing some audio off of a show.
By the way, I should mention this as well because I forgot until just now. All of the complaints about Bean typing or clicking or whatever on his computer, and there are a lot over the years.
Yes.
Most of the time he's looking for this audio.
This is what he's doing.
On a computer.
Searching for these audio bites.
So we're saying maybe...
No wonder he has to type all the time. There's 15,000 of them to sift through. Jesus. You're a mental case.
Bean is a mental case.
How dare you.
Congratulations to Melissa Purcell from Huntington Beach. Won tickets to Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Oh,
how
fun.
About that? Pretty good deal. They, of course, are doing the Fright Fest right now. You can win them every hour here on K-Rock. Details at K-Rock.com. And actually, I'm glad I mentioned the website because I'd like to remind you from time to time that there are a ton of ways to keep in touch with the Kevin and Bean Show. You can go to K-Rock.com or KevinandBean.com. You can always email us. It's generally the person you're trying to reach at K-Rock.com or our email addresses. Does anyone use email anymore? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I rarely do.
I do, quite a bit.
I rarely do.
Really?
Yeah. You can tweet at us at Kevin and Bean. You can go to the Kevin and Bean Instagram page. You can go to Kevin and Bean Facebook page. We do like to hear from you, and of course, you can always call us at any time during the show if you're trying to get to us as well. Let's take a look at some of the email that we have, including this one, Kevin. You'll be surprised to know that I got a little bit of support on this topic.
Wow.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, longtime podcast listener, love the show. I just wanted to say that I agree with your hiding of food, Bean. My live-in boyfriend, being the stoner that he is, has little to no impulse control when it comes to snacks, ice cream, and goodies of that nature. I am always disappointed when I go grab some chips and there are none. I hate to say it, but I'm with you on this one, and fire beer mug brandy. How about that?
I do love the fact that whenever you agree with one of us, Bean or me, or even Ralph, or not Lisa, everybody loves her. Everybody feels the need to apologize.
Yeah.
Look, that's right.
Look, I'm with Bean on this. That makes me uncomfortable.
But okay, yeah, I'm with them.
Yeah, people are very disappointed if they realize that we're saying something that they agree with.
Right,
that's true
exactly.
About that. She doesn't. Brandy doesn't say that she goes as far as I do, which is to have a separate hidden mini fridge in the basement. She's not going quite that far, but she's hiding food and she's okay with that. Speaking of food, we did the story a couple of days ago about a guy who tried to walk up to a McDonald's drive-thru and was refused service because you have to be in a car. So do you remember what he did?
He carjacked
a car that was already in line.
That's right. That's exactly what it did. And, Kevin, you had a way better solution, and that's what this Melissa is writing about. My roommate and I were drunk one night. We had to have a burger. We walked about 2 miles to Carl's Jr. They were close, so we asked a couple in the drive-thru if we could sit in their back seat to order food. We offered to and paid for their food, and they ended up driving us home, saying it wasn't safe for us to walk that far.
Wow.
Remember, that was your suggestion, is go to some other car and say, if you order for me, I'll buy yours, too.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking that you would get in their car, though, because most people wouldn't want that. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, I'll walk up to them, hand them cash, say, please, God, please, order me
right.
this. But I don't think I'd try and get in the car.
These are nice girls, though.
Yeah.
You could not get in the car.
How dare you? No, I don't think they would let you in the car compared to these two girls, right? Here's one on the topic of how people got hurt. We were doing the stories of people who got hurt in silly ways that they didn't expect. Hey, party people, I was listening to the podcast, and I thought I'd add to the stories about people getting hurt. I was at a party for my infant niece, and I slipped on a dollar bill that was on the dance floor. Of course, with that combination, everyone assumes I was stripping, but I assure you, I was not. I came to find out that I tore my ACL and my lateral and medial meniscuses. It's been about 5 months since my surgery, and I'm still deathly afraid of dance floors. Slipping on a dollar bill and causing that much injury is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. We did that story about the guy. He ended up getting in, what was it? He got his leg broken because he wouldn't show his receipt leaving a Costco. Remember, he got into an altercation with one of the employees there?
Yeah, that was weird.
Hey, Bean, I was listening to the podcast about the guy at Costco who was assaulted for not showing his receipt. I hate Costco for this very reason. Technically, after the purchase, the transaction has been completed, and the items are my property. Costco does not have the right to keep me in the store to search my property. What's even worse is when the store is busy, a line builds up to get out of the store. I just got done waiting in a long line to buy this stuff. Now I have to wait in line to show you that I bought this stuff? F you, Costco. Invest in some surveillance cameras like everyone else. You sell them in your store. They're right near the entrance next to the lady on the power trip checking Costco cards to make sure you're not Al-Qaeda. Sincerely, Gerald in Huntington Beach. P.S. DP Beer Mug.
Wow.
Really?
He's a little angry about having to show his receipt, isn't
Just
he?
Just a bit, yeah.
Well, angry
although
in general.
I can't understand it if it slows you up that much, because sometimes there is a long line.
There is, absolutely.
And that is annoying. We were talking, I think it was yesterday, about the woman that had the Mexican flag in her front yard, and the other woman that pulled over and videotaped herself just really giving her what for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just really
going
crazy.
Was, hey, we live in America. Why don't you go back to Mexico if that's how you feel? Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
And I think we insinuated that she was racist for having that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy just wants to say it's not necessarily racism. Based on context. Context is important. He says, I think you may be being a bit harsh by pulling the racism card. Flying a foreign flag means different things in different contexts. A lone German-American or English-American flying the flag of their ancestry usually means nothing other than an affection for their culture. Flying the Mexican flag while Mexico's playing in the World Cup probably doesn't offend too many people. When there's an entire community of immigrants, many of whom arrived here without going through the proper channels, regularly displaying the flag of the homeland, you can come off as an act of defiance. Declaring that your true allegiance is to the homeland. That's an understandable perception. Whether that's offensive whether they mean it or not. I don't think people are racist just because they're offended by that attitude.
But they are assuming people got in under the wire.
Probably
this,
the woman.
This lady was assuming a lot about this family.
She was assuming that. I do think that she was racist, but we did sort of throw out.
If it bothers you, you are automatically
sort
racist.
Of we threw that out. Yeah. I'm not sure we thought that through completely.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Two more real quick. Kevin, I don't think you're going to be down for this, but Farhad writes in, hi, guys. I actually lived in Seguin, Texas for a year as a foreign exchange student.
Nope.
I went to high school there, too. I would love to be the official Kevin and Bean correspondent of the world's largest pecan. Now, is that, do you see that as something that we need here on the program? He doesn't live in Sakina anymore, but he used to. So he wants to be our pecan correspondent. No?
The world's largest pecan, I have an issue with, because, and it's a very simple issue, it's not a pecan. And so to me, it's not the world's largest pecan. What it is cement in the shape of a pecan. And they call it the world's largest pecan. So I'm going to say, don't need to ever reference that. And do not need a correspondent.
I could be a correspondent because nothing happens.
Correct.
There. Nothing. It's just there.
It's just
cement.
It's
still there. I'm your correspondent.
Look, the fact that it's not the world's largest pecan, I think is you getting caught up in the details.
Really?
I really do.
So the world's largest ball of twine? What if that's not? What if that's cement?
Yeah.
Dear Kevin and Bean, and this is the final email this time, Garrett writes in, guys, tomorrow is the 1st of October, and October means Halloween. And Halloween means Halloween spooks. I think you know what to do. First, beer mug, and then hit it, Steve.
No. Hell no. No.
He said hit it, Steve. He insists.
Come on.
It's Halloween spooks time. Yay! Come on, you guys.
So good.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween.
Oh, so bad.
Ghostly things are going to happen. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Oh, God, no.
I think this is the part that drives me the most crazy, because it's just a bunch of people making stupid...
Well, they're making scary ghost sounds.
Yeah, but they're not scary ghost sounds. They're just going, F you.
Dude, this was pretty cutting edge in 1961 when it was made.
What about this? What about the gargler?
There's a voice gargling. The point is, to our listeners, this is all right.
Come on.
No
is right.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
I believe she may have written a different song for this particular.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Why do you think I just quit like that? I literally just give up.
I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't sound like I'm angry in that clip. I just lose interest in my own sentence, I think.
I guess so.
Plus the will to live.
The will to finish that sentence, certainly.
Yes.
I don't know.
All-star EDM DJ Steve Aoki joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
What the hell was that?
What happened?
What the hell was that? Answer me.
That was a certain member of our staff who was not doing the right thing at the right time. Certain member of our staff that's behind me that may have beer and mug in his name.
I didn't hear a thing. What happened?
It sounded like Halloween Spooks was going
again? Yeah, there was
again?
Halloween Spooks was
starting
up
again.
Oh, he was playing in the room. Gotcha.
No, he was playing on the radio.
Well done.
Yeah. That happened.
Taylor Swift is in the news.
Death penalty?
Tadoff Swindler.
Stop it. Honestly, stop it.
She is being sued by a chauffeur service because she is the spawn of Satan.
Right.
And was genetically developed in a lab from Hitler's DNA.
Is that what they're alleging in the lawsuit?
No, that's the fact, but they're suing her for completely different reasons.
No.
She signed this chauffeur service back in June. And made all sort of odd demands. Like, for example, only she could decide when it was okay for the driver to speak to her. She had to give the driver permission to speak to her.
But what does he do, raise his hand?
I guess.
She doesn't call on
him? Maybe she gives her a tablet and he has to write his questions down and then pass them to her or something. But just bitchosity.
Bitchosity, indeed.
And also... She asked for them to lease two more Chevy Suburban SUVs, one to travel in front of her and one to travel behind her when she traveled so that she could go in a motorcade, so she could have her own motorcade.
They don't give her an police escort, do they? So
no.
Basically this motorcade can go do nothing except
drive around.
Be impressive.
Be impressive, right. 3 weeks later, she fires the limo company. leaving them responsible with the leases on two extra Suburbans that they leased for her specifically. So now they filed a lawsuit against Taylor for all sorts of losses.
I hope they win.
I hope they bankrupt her. I hope she's living in a box.
That would make me happy, too, I think.
Me, too.
All right.
Especially if that box was underwater.
Bottom of the ocean.
Bottom of the ocean. More music news. You know Donna Summer, right? Legendary disco queen Donna Summer.
Sure, yeah.
Passed away.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member.
A couple years ago. She is a legend and had a great life, an interesting life. Where it is, they are developing a biopic about the life of Donna Summer. Spike Lee may be on board to direct. Where it is, Justin Timberlake has signed out also to sign the production, perhaps as her manager or the guy who discovered her or whatever. Anyway, they're looking for Donna Summer, and someone wants to be in the movie desperately. So much so she has Instagrammed a photo of herself wearing a wig that looks just like Donna Summer's. Actually, she looks a lot like her in this photo.
Really?
Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child.
Oh.
Wants to be a movie star and wants to play this role. And I think she's got the voice.
She can sing.
And she can sing. And she looks a lot like her. She's very pretty. I think it's good casting.
Huh.
They should do it.
Not bad.
And I was happy to hear that Aretha Franklin is back at work. The legendary Queen of Soul.
She's had, what, health issues? What's her?
Yeah, she's had a lot of health issues.
Bad. Well, you know, I can't believe she's still alive.
She battled obesity for most of her adult life and then also had all kinds of
Diabetes
issues, yeah, and she really has been struggling. I think perhaps her best days are behind her as a singer. She was, don't get me wrong, one of the great voices in all popular music. But she seems like she's waned a little bit. Although, you know, she's got a new album that she's releasing called Aretha Franklin Takes on the Great Diva Classics, where she sings other songs by really great female artists and puts her own spin on them.
Okay.
To varying degrees of success. Like, she takes on Rolling in the Deep by Adele. Adele does a pretty good job.
Adele's pretty tough to top.
On her own.
Yeah.
I know you're the queen of soul and everything, Aretha, but maybe you shouldn't tackle these songs. Here's a little taste.
The scars I'm gonna remind me of us. It keeps me thinking we almost had it all. The scars of your love keeps me breathless. I can't help thinking we could have had it all. Rolling in the deep. You had my heart inside your hand. But you played to the beat.
Yeah, she just strikes me as like somebody's grandma in the kitchen singing along to that song on the radio.
Yeah, that's shower.
We could have had it all.
That's in the shower time right there. That's not necessary.
No, it's not necessary. I love the Queen.
Sure.
But just saying.
Maybe do something else with it, like a ballad or, you know, change it up a little.
Let's not go head-to-head
right,
in this competition.
Not going to out-sing Adele.
Today's celebrity birthday is a ton of people born today. T-Pain, 29 years old today. Kieran Culkin is 32. Lacey Chabert is also 32. Marion Cotillard is 39.
Bonkers.
Stop it. It's not bonkers. 39 years old today. Jenna Elfman's 43. Tony Hale is 44. Monica Bellucci. She's 50 years old today. Actor, director Eric Stoltz is 53.
Fran Drescher.
We don't have time now, but we do have to play the red carpet.
We got to play Bean's red carpet interview with Fran Drescher.
Yeah. Well, maybe I can't find it. You ever think about that? No. Maybe I got too much audio.
No, you know, we've streamlined your audio. Now it should be much easier to find, now that we've gotten rid of some of the less likely clips. She is 57 years old, and Barry Williams, Greg Brady of the Brady Bunch, he is 60 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We'll talk to Steve Aoki coming up next here on the World Famous K-Rock. First, though, last night was Monday Night Football. Here's one of the headlines online. This is from Yahoo Sports this morning. Was this the end for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots dynasty? They got shellacked last night in Kansas City. What did the final end up being? Was it 41-14?
I think it was something like that. Yeah, it was a disaster.
Now, Tom Brady has got to be in the conversation of one of the one or two best quarterbacks of all time, you would have to say, right?
Yeah, sure.
certainly top three.
Sure, yeah.
The Patriots have had a phenomenal run under Coach Belichick for the past 20 years or so, and they did make it to the AFC playoff game last year. So it's not like this is a team that has been in the dumps, but you just expect them to win every time they take the field. And when they lose as badly as they did last night, when Tom Brady is pulled from the game and they put in the backup quarterback in the fourth.
That was crazy.
That is where you just go, are we seeing some sort of a seismic shift? Now, I know you love Bill Belichick, the coach of the Patriots.
I do, Kevin. Love him, yeah.
And the beautiful thing about the coach is that the speeches that he gives in the locker room and the questions that he answers from reporters, you can't tell looking at him whether they've just won the Super Bowl or had a loss like last night.
He's always miserable.
Yeah.
He has the same demeanor no matter what happened in the game, and he certainly had a right to be upset from last night. And I think we have something from the podium, right?
All right, well, obviously we just didn't have a very good night tonight. It was disappointing. Chiefs played well. We just didn't really play well enough at all. Just didn't play very well. Kansas City played well, so it's a bad combination for us.
Well, can't argue that.
You know what, though? He's also not angry now. I mean, he doesn't celebrate when they win, but he also doesn't seem too angry now that they just got destroyed.
No, he's pretty even-keeled. That's the thing about Coach Belichick. But we thought, hey, let's try again. Let's get him on and see if maybe if we can get a little bit more insight into what went wrong beyond just the broad strokes that we heard there in the press conference. Hi, Coach. Welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, we appreciate you coming on today. Tough loss in Kansas City last night. How are you feeling with a little bit of reflection?
Not great.
It was 41-14. I mean, it seems
I know the score was.
Right, but I mean, it seems like most head coaches and most fans would expect the head coaches to be upset.
Okay.
You know, maybe getting beaten like that on Monday Night Football is not exactly what you want, so you want your coach to whip your team into, you know, into better shape, and you don't seem too bothered.
What good would that be? What good would that do?
Well, I mean, I think some players might respond to you're fired up and you're motivated and you're going in there with a positive can-do attitude, kind of light a fire under some of the guys who may be taking the season for granted. Just, hey, I'm a Patriot, that's enough.
You think I'm not fired up?
Well, we can't tell.
I am. I'm fired up.
This is you fired up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Your team was outgained 303-96 in the first half last night.
Yeah.
What were you thinking as you were watching on the sidelines? I mean, were there any kind of adjustments that you were trying to make that just didn't work, or did you just have no answer for what Kansas City was doing to you?
We wanted to get more yards.
Right.
Right.
Score more
points, yeah.
Those adjustments.
Right, okay.
That's kind of a joke. Okay. Your quarterback, Tom Brady, was just 59% in his passes last night. Now, that's unusual for your future Hall of Famer, right?
Yes.
What do you think was going on?
He didn't play as well as he usually does.
Right. Right. Well, that was clear, but is there any reason? I mean, is there a problem between teammates?
Nope.
Injuries, maybe, perhaps, that we don't know about?
Or maybe he was injured, yeah. Okay.
Trouble at home with his supermodel wife?
Nope.
Was he mad when you pulled him?
Nope.
Okay.
All right. What's the plan? What's the plan going forward? I mean, you're 2-2. Obviously, the season is not lost. I mean,
not
you can still have a great season, still make the playoffs, still win the Super Bowl for that matter. But what's your plan? What kind of adjustments are you going to make before the next game?
I've got one big adjustment I'm going to make right now.
Okay.
How? What? Coach! This is not like you.
It's also not an adjustment.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
It's very exciting for us. His last album, Wonderland, was nominated for a Grammy for the Best Dance Electronica Album. Let's see if we can do it again with a brand new one in stores and available for download today called Neon Future. Steve Aoki joins us in studio on the Kevin
What's up,
Show.
Everyone?
Hey, Steve.
It's nice to be back on the show.
It's great to have you back. Let's start with the title, only because we were discussing this off the air all morning long. It looks like it's Neon Future Point One. Is that accurate?
Yeah, because it's a two-part series, and this is the first. So the next Neon Future Part 2.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Will be coming out next year. So, right. And it's out
finished?
Today.
Is number two finished?
For the most part. All the main components, it still needs to be mixed down. There's like a lot of different little nicks and crannies I need to finish up, but it's pretty much...
But songs are there.
Yeah.
Because you want it to sound as current and as fresh as it can be in 2015, right?
Yeah, you got to revamp the songs, but all the vocals are done, and that's one of the hardest things to tie down, especially with everyone's busy schedules. And
because
I'm working
of other people that you work with, and they're on the road, and they have...
Yeah, and there's so many artists. Every song, I'm working with a different vocalist or a different band, and some of these songs, like... you know, from start to finish took about 2 years to finish.
Wow.
You know, so it's not like one of those electronic records where you can pump it out in a week. I mean, you know, the song I did with Linkin Park, the second one, is going to be on part two. It's still going. We're still working on the song. You know, still crafting the song.
How does that work? Do you go back and forth just email or?
Yeah, that's at this point, you know, with our schedule, and they're on their world tour.
Right.
You know, that's how we've been doing it. But before they took off is when we were like, okay, we're happy with where we're at, and now we got to get it mixed properly because there's so many elements when you're working with a band.
Yeah, I can see that.
Why are you trying to make – why were you making two albums at the same time?
You know, I mean, the way people download music, I didn't want to put – 18 songs or 16 songs on one album. I'd rather focus on 8 and give each song, you know, its own value, its own significance, and then you know, let it breathe a bit. So that's why I split it up and make more sense.
And you said 2015. You have an idea when? Early in the year? Late in the year? Summer?
Yeah, you know, I want. It's more about like how much time each song needs to kind of develop. Like we didn't realize Delirious. Was going to keep going on the radio, so we let it do its thing, and now we're focusing on the next single. So, generally speaking, I'd say like early next year, spring at the latest.
Are you good at all at predicting what a song is going to do on the radio? Like you just said, you were surprised by the fact that Delirious just took, had legs like that.
Yeah, no, I'm with radio, I don't know. I'm new.
You can't guess that.
No, not at all.
You don't hear one of your songs and go, okay, that one.
Yeah, like last time we were here for A Light That Never Comes, you know, the collab with Linkin Park.
Right.
I couldn't believe it was doing so well in K-Rock. I mean, of course, with Linkin Park, it has the legs, has the power, but for me, it's
But it's
like,
got some Aoki sound in it too, so that was a big hit.
Yeah, no, that's great.
And you're not making records for radio either. I mean, you're making them for your live show, right?
Exactly. So it's a whole new process that I had to start looking into, especially with that particular song, the Delirious record. So,
can we go back to when you learned to do this, learn to make music? Because you didn't learn in college or any sound, you know. You didn't learn any place except for you just sort of taught yourself?
Yeah, I mean, started off in the conference room of my record label office, you know, behind Amoeba Records is where we had the Dimmock office. And that's where I started Baby Steps 2005 doing remixes.
Okay.
I had 2 years where I was just doing remixes. And that's like the perfect place for any producer to start because you have all the stems. You have a palette of color to use.
Right.
To do whatever you can do. And that's where I always tell producers when they ask me for advice, start doing your own bootlegs. Get whatever you can, get an acapella and rework it the way you want to rework it. And then eventually you'll get the ball rolling where you can start writing original.
How
music.
Has the software changed since then? You said 2005?
2005. I mean, I was using Pro Tools back then. And now I'm using Ableton, and that's like one of the most...
that's the one, right?
Yeah,
if you want one program, Ableton is the one.
It's the most intuitive. It's like the easy go-to. I mean, everyone's got their own DAW that they use to produce, and it's just whatever you're comfortable with, you know, whether it's Fruity Loops or Logic, Ableton. But there's only a few out there that everyone uses. And, I mean, and it's also nice if you're using a software that everyone else uses, then you can go into their studio.
Oh, that makes sense.
And then you do, you know, collaborations easier, send sessions back and forth easier.
You're not a guy who uses samples much.
Samples? Yeah, of course. I mean, electronic music, it's, I mean, with club records especially, that's when samples are key, you know. Mm-hmm. With the album, I'm looking at it like songs, so right. I'm not looking at it like, okay, I'm going to make a really fat club single. I want, you know, when I was in the studio with Fall Out Boy, we decided to do a song where there was really no drop. There was no area for, you know, just music. So, you know, let's make a song together.
You can't make music without drops. Specifically. Is that a weird
thing?
Well,
that tension
thing?
And release is such a big part it of is. especially your live show. I mean, that's kind of that's the moment in the song that everybody is waiting for just to go crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why you make club edits, too. You know, you have, okay, let's make a song, but then we can always edit it down and and make it friendly for the club so that the kids can go crazy at the shows.
Speaking of going crazy, there's nothing like a Steve Aoki show in the world in any kind of music. I mean, I don't know how it is where you get that energy from. It's just insane to watch you. You almost look like a man possessed on that stage, Steve.
Yeah, but
What's going through your head? I mean, do you lose yourself in the music, or is everything you're doing and thinking just calculated and you know exactly what's up?
I'm competing with the people in the front row. They're losing their minds.
Right.
So, like, sometimes when you watch them and you're pointing at them going, that dude is going crazy. and you're like, but you say it in a way like that you love it, you know?
Right.
I'm like, this guy is awesome. Like, get a camera on him. He's incredible. So when I see that, I see this guy losing his mind or this girl just, you know, like, you know, going crazy. It gives me that kind of in a feeling where, why shouldn't I, you know?
Like, so it's really collaborative. It's not, I mean, you really do look at it as a two-way street from the stage.
Yeah, because I think the more you care less about how you look and you care more about how you feel,
right?
Then you really leave the show with something special. You leave something with something more than, oh, yeah, I saw something cool. It's like, no, I experienced one of the best things in my life, and I can't really understand how it got there, but I mean, you know, you're expressing it through your body, you know, obviously.
Steve Aoki is here. We need to take a break.
Hey, you're a bad man. We're talking.
When we get back, I want to talk to you about the creation of the things that you do for your stage show, though.
Yeah, of course.
With your ridiculous caking and your freaking boats. I don't know what the hell is going on with you, but I love it. And we'll come right back with Steve Aoki on Cape.
Steve Aoki in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. His new album is available everywhere today. It is called Neon Future Point One. Us Weekly did a feature on you recently, Steve, where we learned that your favorite country to visit is Japan.
Yeah.
You're an avid snowboarder. You have 8 tattoos, and your favorite food is ramen. You know you're a big celebrity when Us Weekly is writing that your favorite food is ramen in their magazine.
Yeah, you know, it's Japanese. I got to keep it real.
Sure. You're at a new level here. Kevin, right before the break, you were talking about Steve's unbelievable prop-filled show.
Yeah, it seems like that whole stage show thing got started your first time at Coachella?
Yeah, exactly. You know, when you're playing at Coachella, one of the most the best festivals in the world,
right?
You got to do something more than just DJ, you know. So that was the first time.
But
when
you didn't have any of this stuff before.
No,
this was the time when you went, I have to create something more.
Exactly. This is where I spent. I remember I got paid $4,000, and I ended up spending $7,000 on building these boxes out and like sewing up really cool neon cloaks and pulling out super soakers, and
so
that's when the rock came out.
You actually lost money.
Yeah, I lost money. I was like, I gotta make it bang out, you know.
But he gained reputation though.
Yeah.
Everybody walked away from that appearance going, oh my god, you have to see Steve Aoki.
Yeah, that was I remember like that Rolling Stone article when I flipped through and I saw myself, you know, there's Paul McCartney, of course, he's there.
Right.
And then there's a picture of me on the raft.
And that was like the only two pictures, right?
Yeah, I couldn't believe I made it. You know, I was a small
DJ. I'm in a raft, and that's Paul McCartney.
Yeah. So
one of these is not like the other.
The caking thing, you have done for a long time. How do you avoid people who appear to want to be caked and then they get angry? Does that ever happen?
Yeah, there's times where I'm like, okay, I'll point at someone, I'll make sure they want the cake, get the nod, I get them to open up,
right.
And right before, like right when I'm cocking back,
right,
they get scared, and they kind of like, you know, squirm away, so then I just point to someone else.
You're just like, that's
like,
not
you know, because like, I don't want, like, if you really don't want it, it's okay. I'll pass it to someone else.
There's plenty of people there who want it.
And then the guy or the girl that gets caked, you know, goes crazy. And then the person that squirmed away, it just feels, has like that look of regret.
Yeah.
Aww.
So I kind of want to get them back, but, you know, there's only so many cakes to go around.
No, you should kick them out.
Is there someone on your crew that you send out before every show to buy cakes locally, or do you travel with cakes?
You know, we have a rider that like requires a certain kind, certain depth, you know, all nice. That kind of stuff, and the promoter. So, you know, so the baker,
they provide the cakes for
have you.
Have you
nice. Narrowed down like what size and all that is most throwable?
Yes.
And most accurate?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
what
yeah.
What a bizarre world
yeah,
you live in.
I know. It's strange. It's strange, but, you know, like the round cakes that are like almost you can palm
right.
are the best, that are thick with density. So, like, when they hit the face, it's soft. you know, soft like a pillow. You don't
right.
want it. It can't. It shouldn't hurt, right?
Right. You don't want it to hurt.
Yeah, but you want to also have the accuracy because you don't want to miss the main target.
The person who gave you the nod is like, yes, yeah. I'm ready, and then you hit their friend.
Yeah,
that would not be good.
They'll just get jealous, you know.
Have you considered trying it with knives instead of cakes?
Oh no!
I don't think he wants that to happen.
No, fans.
All right, just riffing here. Just thinking off the top of my head.
Do you actually travel 300 days a year? Is that an accurate stat?
This year, I've toned it down.
So less than 300.
Yeah, it's like
298.
Yeah. I probably did about 200 dates. But, you know, in the summertime, you can do like two, maybe even three countries in one day when you're in Europe.
Wow.
And it's like it's festival season in the summertime. That's what happens. You know,
that's
so
right.
You can really knock out a lot of shows in a small weekend.
Let's hear some of the new records. Steve Aoki is here. We talked about Neon Future Point One, available for download today. Lots of guest stars. Is there any rhyme or reason as to how the people on this album ended up? I mean, did you have a list of people that you went after, or is this just folks that you run into backstage and you guys get to talking, or how was it assembled?
It's kind of both. You know, some of them are friends that I've always wanted to work with, like Fall Out Boy, and some are artists I just met, like Kid Ink. And like Will.i.am, I've been working with since day one. Empire of the Sun did a remix for them; they loved it. And then got Luke Steele to sing on the title track. Waka Flocka did a tour with them. So everyone's got like their own story,
right? But, and you guys write together for these songs?
Yeah, like and the song I did with Machine Gun Kelly, we started from scratch after being in the studio like four or five times, where we, you know, I was writing music for him,
right?
Wasn't working out, so we just went from, you know, the bare basics all the way and finished it together.
Let's play some clips. We have Delirious. You were talking about Kid Ink.
Yeah.
We have a piece of Delirious. I got to tell you, this is not a non-participation album. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just really sit there and listen. I have to dance.
Yeah. Well, you're dance or die, Kevin. I mean, that's
right.
Your whole thing.
Let's talk about Get Me Out of Here.
Get Me Out of Here. That's a song I did with Flux Pavilion, UK dubstep producer. Incredible producer. And he actually sings on the song as well. So
was that a surprise to him?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's a surprise to a lot of people because
right.
He's known to produce the dirtiest bass sounds
right.
out there. And he's very, very infamous for that. And then he sings beautifully. So it's great to have that together. And we finished up the vocal sessions actually a year and a half ago in Miami.
Wow.
So that song has, you know, I mean, we started that song over 2 years ago.
Is it fun to have new music to play on the road?
Yes.
Is that
of course,
fun?
Of yeah. course. I mean, that's what's like re-inspires you when you're always playing the same song over and over again.
How often do you get rid of older songs from your set list for the most part?
That's like definitely where the reactions from the crowd and just being, you know, attentive to what people want to hear or you know, not really feeling, that's where that comes into
play. You literally interact with the crowd and you can feel what song you shouldn't play and what song you should play?
Yeah, there's a song, like, for example, there's like some songs where I get it and then I'll play it for a long period of time, but it's just not crossing over to a point where it feels like it should exist in the new space of music that you're writing.
Right. So. You worked with Will.i.am, like you said. You've worked with him many times. This is called Born to Get Wild.
Born to Get Wild.
Pretty strong.
Wow. Yeah. Lisa took her top off when that was there.
That was incredible. Reaction she had on that. And Fallout Boy. This was a surprise to me. Did you know them? You run into them? How did it come about? You didn't go, I've got to get Fall Out Boy for my album.
I definitely.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I
that
did.
Not
yes.
happen. You are lying.
Yes, I did.
No, well, you didn't.
No, Patrick and Peter, they've been old friends. I've loved the band from day one.
Okay, so they've been friends.
Yeah.
That's acceptable then.
And I wrote this song for them.
You did?
I wrote this song for them. I mean, it's a fast-paced song that needs an angst. It needs like a that kind of spirit that Patrick can lay down on vocals. So, but you get to hear everything. That's what's so great about the song. You get to hear like the bass and guitar and live instrumentation on the song. So it's pretty cool.
It's called Back to Earth. That's the best song they've ever done.
Those are clips from Neon Future Point One. It's available everywhere in stores and for download today. Hey, Steve, what's going on with your Instagram book? Last time you were in, you told us that that was coming out of you and all your famous Aoki jumps.
Yeah, it's coming out. It's finally happening. We turn on all the pictures. Actually, it's been reformatted from the Aoki jump book to like an Instagram book properly. So it's like kind of like the best of photos.
I was telling you off the air that I you wear me out. I follow you on Instagram and I just go, wow, this is nuts. He was in such and such a place yesterday. And today, look at all those people. I mean, do you lose track of where you are and what's going on?
That's like partially why I make sure that I'm documenting, because otherwise it's just a blur.
Right.
It's like, when did we go there? Oh, I can go back on my timeline and, you know.
Wait, we were in Paris? And then you have to check it out. How many jumps have you made, by the way?
Now we're, I think we're at over 600.
Now, is that something you'll ever end, or do you think the jump is forever?
I think, I mean, at one point when I was nearing 500, I was like, okay, I think this will call it. And
right.
then you see another friend, and all of a sudden we're, you know, you're in the middle of a desert, and hey, we got to do a jump.
Does that come for you or the friend a lot of times?
It's kind of both, know? So it's got to that point where people know this is what I do. And I'm like, why not?
Is it hard to retire stuff? Is it hard to get rid of the jump? Is it hard to get rid of the raft? Is it hard to get rid of the cake? Like, do people just expect certain things from you?
Yeah.
And you have to keep doing them, basically.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, as long as it, at the end result, if it makes people happy, then why not?
And it definitely does that.
Yeah.
All right. I have one final question for you, Mr. Steve Aoki, and that is, you always have a camera crew following you, but they're not really filming, right?
Like, there's like, this is like The Office. This is the documentary that will never come out.
We'll see. We'll see what these guys are doing.
What is the plan with them, with this?
Making a documentary next
year. Sure you are.
Next year. Did you say next year?
Next year. Relativity is producing it. And it's their studio, and by the guys that made Jiro Dreams of Sushi, which is an incredible doc.
Incredible movie.
And, so they've been following me around. I have no idea how it's going to come out, but,
Okay.
That was very convincing. You sound like you actually believed that they were filming for something.
And I have one final question, and that is, you read a lot about people and stuff online all the time, and you never know what to trust because half the time it's fake. Were you really a great badminton player in high school?
The thing was, when I was in high school, I was bad at every single traditional sport. And since I won a few games of badminton, they gave me a pat on the back with
All
that
right.
one. But I don't think I was very good. but I did beat some people in some matches.
There you
compared
go.
To how you so, were at basketball, you looked great at badminton.
You, you need to bring badminton to your stage show.
Okay.
All right. I think that's important. Steve, thanks for coming in. We always appreciate the time.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. You can get the album again today. It is called Neon Future Point 1. And best of luck and talk to us next. Come in next year when the part 2 comes out.
That'll be great.
Fantastic. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:57.
Have you ever seen Kevin as excited about a guest as he is about Steve Aoki, Ralph?
No, he's like a child. He's running around.
I like it.
He showed me something. He's running around. His
no,
pants
I was just
are
saying,
all wet.
I was telling you why I was late getting back into the studio because he was showing me the book.
Right, but we have lots of guests
right.
that you
like
don't even
him.
You don't even know who they are until they walk in the room. You look at your paperwork. This guy, man, I feel like you were up all night cramming. You're current.
It was the first
research?
Time in an interview where Bean couldn't get a question in.
Couldn't get a word in edgewise.
It's the first time that's ever happened on the radio.
How dare you all.
We finally found Kevin's thing. This
hey,
is his
man.
Element, man.
Guys, dance or die.
Dance
right?
or die.
Sure.
That's
look,
right.
I know. You're
Let's pay it off
that.
Right there. All right, Ralph is here. It's Tuesday. Time for the Showbiz Beat on K-Rock. What's going on?
If you could just combine a Steve Aoki show with the children's menu, it would be the perfect event for Kevin.
He throws cake.
I know, yeah. That's why you love him.
He's got everything.
Your entire diet is could be had at a Steve Aoki show.
You're a mess.
You're a mess like Amanda Bynes is a mess.
Oh, no.
She's back.
I'm very sad about this.
Are you?
I don't know her
no,
or anything,
don't.
Obviously, but... I know she went through a very, very bad time, and it looked like she got the help she needed, and she was out, and she was fine, she was clean, she was healthy, and boom,
mm-hmm.
this happens.
Well, where does she moved out of her parents' house into her own apartment? Maybe that's part of it. But friends say, or insiders, whoever they are, say she is once again back smoking pot, and she was popped for DUI in the San Fernando Valley after stopping her Mercedes in the middle of an intersection in Van Nuys. They don't like it when you do that, the police. They like you to proceed through an intersection.
So stop ahead of or go through, yes.
Yeah. She had a disheveled appearance, according to police, at the time of her arrest, and the officers determined she was under the influence of something. They believed perhaps it was a stimulant. Anyway, toxicology tests are underway. We'll know soon.
Any word on Drake murdering her vagina?
No word yet.
Okay.
And whether there has been any vagina murder or not.
Amanda, please, .com.
Walmart says it's Tracy Morgan's fault that he got hurt in that tragic crash last June where the Walmart truck rammed into the limousine bus he was riding in with his friend, killing his friend. Walmart answered the lawsuit Tracy Morgan filed yesterday by saying he should blame himself for the injuries because he chose not to wear a seat belt. Tracy failed, in their opinion, to, and I quote, exercise ordinary care in making use of available seatbelts and acted unreasonably and in disregard of plaintiff's own best interests.
Did he get hit from behind? I forget the story.
Yes.
The Walmart guy hit him from behind?
Yes.
That's pretty much always the person who hits them from behind. It's their fault. Right? That's the law.
I mean, I take their point that he would have sustained fewer injuries, perhaps, had he been seatbelted, but he wouldn't have needed to wear a seatbelt at all if he hadn't been rammed from behind by their truck.
That is absolutely true.
Hmm.
However, seatbelts would have made a big difference.
Yeah. Yes.
So maybe their plan is to sort of work down the damages by saying, look, we're responsible for some of those injuries, but we're not responsible for all of those injuries. How about this amount? Will you accept this amount?
I'm
guessing this is a ploy. Yeah, this is a legal ploy to try to ameliorate the amount that they'll be given.
Hang on, look up ameliorate.
Yeah. And William Shatner's in the news. His next venture is going to be a cooking show.
What?
Yes.
He does everything.
That is not. He's the best.
That's not true.
Daily Variety reports he'll be hosting a new online series where he talks to various chefs and explores the roots of their various culinary approaches.
It is a passion of his, food. We learned that from his appearances on Iron Chef.
He loves food. He's already had another series, I did not know this, that he does for Aura TV, called Brown Bag Wine Tasting. In which he asks people to blindly taste wine and then describe it in their own terms while he interviews them about their lives and struggles. So it's like the Raw Nerve Show combined with people just drinking wine out of a brown paper bag.
Hmm. Boy, I got to tell you, you got to give him credit for just using his creativity. I mean, some of this stuff doesn't even make sense.
He loves to work.
Yeah,
and he loves to talk to people. He's fascinated by people, and he likes to combine things that interest him with with interviewing people. And that's what he's been doing now with this wine series and then now with the food series.
You mentioned Raw Nerve, his talk show. I thought it was excellent.
So did I. Tell me, Gene Simmons, what was it like being raised by your parents in New York? You're a Jew. What was that like? Being a Jew in New York. Tell me, Gene. Because I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew from Canada. You're a Jew from New York. What was that like? We're both Jews.
Right.
There was a lot of Jew talk when he had Gene Simmons on for some reason. He was very, very focused on that. You're a handsome and powerful man, Bill Shatner. Today's celebrity birthdays. Barry Williams is 60 years old today. You know him as Greg from the Brady Bunch. Fran Drescher is 57. Eric Stoltz. Mask. Remember Mask?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, he was not attractive in Mask.
No.
Not attractive at all.
I think of Pulp Fiction when I think of Eric Stoltz.
Sure you do. Because he's the dealer with the syringe.
With the syringe through the heart. Yep.
Oh, that was that guy.
He provides the adrenaline. Yeah. He was also the Keymaster. Let's not forget he was the Keymaster.
What movie was that?
Say Anything.
Oh, and Say Anything. Yes, 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 yes,
Keymaster.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, you know, Some Kind of Wonderful, Some Kind of Wonderful. He was a star of that movie.
I think we've identified him.
No, I don't think we have. Here's a little Eric Stoltz trivia.
Roughly
he
good.
Was Marty McFly.
He was?
For an entire month of shooting on Back to the Future. Until the director, Bob Zemeckis, said, this is not going to work out.
Okay, is that?
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, Eric. And sent him on his way.
Wow.
And then they got, of course, Michael... Jay Fox, and the rest is history.
Have we passed the point where this is might be too much information?
Eric Stoltz?
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay.
He's 53 years old today. Monica Bellucci's 50. Tony Hale's 44. Jenna Elfman's 43. Marion Cotillard is 39. Tracy Chabert is 32, as is Kieran Culkin. And T-Pain celebrates 29 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph, it has been... my pleasure to work with you for all these last 15 years on the Kevin Bean Show. I've really enjoyed it. I want to say I wish you well.
Thank you.
And I know you. I understand why you've got to move to Lincoln City, Oregon.
Yes,
and,
when the calling happens, you have to answer and you have to follow your heart.
That's true.
And follow what your belief system is, and you have to serve the people.
Yeah, something more important than just shallow show business is to get in touch with your spirituality at the Church of Superheroes at the Driftwood Library. It's every third Sunday of every month in Lincoln City, Oregon. We'd like to welcome, I don't even know if he's called a pastor or what, but the founder of the Church of Superheroes, Mr. Corby Brandis, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Corby.
How are we doing, guys?
Very good.
Good, Corby. How you doing?
Doing good.
The reason we're talking to Corby is he contacted me. And Corby said, we're putting together this Church of Superheroes. We believe that life's moral lessons can be taught through the stories of superheroes in modern comics. And I thought he said, I thought you might be interested in this. And I said, interested?
Sign me up. Be a deacon.
I want a collar. Make me a reverend or whatever I need to be.
But, do you have guest preachers?
We could. Yeah, absolutely. We haven't yet. We've only had one church service so far. We started this back in August, so we're really, really new, but...
Okay. Go back to that light bulb moment for you, Corby, when you realized this was a thing you wanted to pursue.
So we were at work, and I was talking to the guys at work, and I think one of the new comic book movies had come out, and we were talking about all the stories in there and what it meant to me. And I've always wanted to find a church that I felt that I was comfortable at, but I've never been able to take that leap of faith. And I didn't want to have to do that just to be able to surround myself by people that were like-minded. So... I decided that it would be a great idea to be able to do this through the superheroes.
Listen, most churches deal in fairy tales anyway. Why not these stories to teach us lessons? Let these be our parables.
Exactly. I figure that's the biggest part of going to church is when you go to church service, your pastor picks something that they want to talk about on the day, and they read you some stories from the Bible, and there's no reason that we can't do that.
Now, you said you've only had one service. How many people were there?
There was about six people at our first service, but
wow,
I also live in a town of... Yeah, we live in a town of 6,000 people, so it's not bad for us.
How many people? I'm sorry, Corby. How do you say?
About 6,000 people living here in town.
Right. How many people were at the service?
Six.
About six of us.
Six.
Yeah.
Well, look, Jesus started with 12, so you're close.
There you go.
There you go.
You're on your way.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed on your Church of Superheroes Facebook page that you make reference to Spider-Man and also to the Winter Soldier, and there's a Marvel reference there. Are you Marvel-centric, or will you also be talking about Superman and Wonder Woman and whatnot?
We'll definitely branch out. I've always been a Marvel fan personally.
Blasphemer! Blasphemer! I'm going to start a rival church, and then we will say you're going to hell because you believe in Marvel.
You're going to be all DC all the time, right, Ralph?
That's right.
Ralph can come and give our DC sermon. So right,
there you go. Which superheroes have you thought the most about in terms of how they translate to the lessons that you'd like to teach in your church, Corby?
I think the first one that and this really keyed off when I was a kid, I noticed that the X-Men was really a thinly veiled commentary on racism and discrimination in our country. And I mean, I was born in 77, long after it came out, but during that time it was huge for us, and it means a lot more nowadays, because not only do we have the problems with race discrimination still, but we've got gender discrimination and we've got, you know, sexual orientation discrimination that all of needs to be addressed.
That's true. Stan Lee himself said the X-Men always represented people in society who were ostracized. You know, the mutant community in the X-Men books are really stand-ins for whether you're a homosexual, whether you're black, whether you are lesbian, whether you're a woman.
The disenfranchised.
Yeah, anyone who feels put upon or separate from society's norm, whatever that may be, can turn to a comic book like the X-Files, I can relate to these guys. I feel like they feel. And I think there's a lot of stories like that in comic books.
Yeah.
How are you going to deal with, you know, you go to, if you went to a conventional, you know, Catholic church, they would talk about Satan. Are you going to bring up the villains at all and talk about how they relate to the real world that we're living in?
Not necessarily. It's more about the giving the ideas of a good moral. I view those negative stories as retribution for if you don't live the right way. And the way that I've decided to run our church is to give you the tools and the options to live a good life, but I'm not going to tell you that you're going to be punished, because that's up to you to believe what you believe. So if you want to be a Catholic and come and talk about good morals with us at the Church of Superheroes, that's totally okay. If you're an atheist, it still applies.
On your Facebook page, Corby, I noticed that you were taking some suggestions from some of your readers about the logo for the church. Did you come up with one?
We did, yeah. There's a picture of one that we made, T-shirts. I went to a local comic convention up here in Portland a couple weeks ago, and we had T-shirts made for the founders. And then we went and did that. We've got a couple other submissions. We're looking at doing some stickers and stuff like that.
I still like the idea of Superman on a kryptonite cross. That's just me.
What kind of reaction are you getting from perhaps the unenlightened citizens of Lincoln City, Oregon, about your adventures here?
The first time I say to somebody that I've started the Church of Superheroes, they look at me like I'm kind of crazy. But then as soon as I start to explain to them that it's not that I believe that Spider-Man is real or that, you know, Batman is protecting me from the Joker tonight, and I explain what we're trying to do, it's usually pretty positive.
Look, like I said, I don't think this is any more crazy than a lot of other religions.
This is the flying spaghetti monster all over again. It's
exactly.
Whatever you want to believe in that's going to lead you to a happy life where you are kind to other people is a positive. I don't see a downside in something like this, except you'll probably never get a girlfriend. Other than that. Well,
that's not an issue. My wife would be really upset.
See?
If I
okay, there you go.
There you go.
Wife doesn't want you to get a girlfriend anyway.
He's
so
already
it works out for everybody.
He went locked in.
He waited until he got a wife, and then he started the church.
I don't have any problem with it. I think it's awesome. What kind of publicity are you getting in town there besides your Facebook page? How is the word being spread?
Not a lot so far. It's really just been word of mouth with the people that have joined the church. And the other thing that we really want to focus on is trying to do it through the Facebook page. And in the modern age, being able to have church service digitally. So we talk a lot about the morals on the Facebook page a lot more often than the once a month that we can meet physically. So we're going to start sharing the video of the church service itself. How it goes is this last one we talked for about 10, 15 minutes about the power of friendship and being there for people when they're going through their tough times. And then we sat down and watched The Winter Soldier. So you'll be able to...
Best church ever.
Perfect.
Yeah, you'll be able to sit down, watch the service online, and then go out and rent the new movie that's just come out that we watched as church service, and you can have it in L.A. You could have it in Germany if you wanted to.
I love it. That's fantastic.
I want a building, though, too. I want stained glass portraits of the superheroes in the windows. I want pews. I want a big flat-screen TV at the front. I want a pulpit.
I want to see a brick and mortar Church of Superheroes.
That's the long term plan. For now, it's obviously just it's pretty small. I mean, like I told Ralph in the email that I originally sent to him, it takes about $2,000 to get a church actually recognized as a church, which
is
what
right?
we're starting the process of doing now. Yeah, and
wow.
there's all sorts of lawyers you got to get involved to get your bylaws written and your 501c3 application done and all of that
stuff. Is that for your tax-exempt status and that kind of stuff?
Exactly, all that stuff, yeah.
Well, go on Kickstarter. Well, start something up, and I'll be happy to promote it, Corby. We'll raise that $2,000 for you so you guys can get this off the ground.
I appreciate it, Ralph.
Sounds like you're going about it the right way for all the right reasons. Corby Brand is our guest. You can find him at Church of Superheroes at Facebook. Thanks for the time, Corby. Good luck to you, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Corby Brand is our guest. You can find him at Church of Superheroes at Facebook. Thanks for the time, Corby. Good luck to you, sir.
Thanks, guys.
You
have a great...
God!
He said, thanks, guys. And I thought it was done.
Is that you this time, or was that Bugs this
time?
Oh, no,
that was me.
That was you.
No.
The OG Kevin hanging up on yet another guest here on the Kevin Abid Show. Hey, we told you yesterday morning, first thing, about a Huntington Beach man who has been going to Disneyland every single day since January 1st, 2012, I think, is when he started. So he's well over 1,000 days in a row going to Disneyland every single day, okay? We're talking to him on tomorrow's Kevin Bean Show, by the way. He's going
to
be our guest.
That's it. But to us, that's a not just that you like Disneyland, because a lot of people do. But, you know, you got to get to, like, day 400 and go, you know, I could skip a day. But
right, exactly.
but it's the streak.
Right.
You don't want to break the streak. So you have to
exactly.
Going.
Yeah, we've got a lot of questions about his streak of Disneyland, but that got us talking about streaks in general, things that people do for whatever period of time. It's an everyday thing or a once a week thing or whatever it is, but they keep the streak alive. We had that guy in, Lisa, you chugged a beer with that guy who was, that was
oh,
his
yeah.
thing. He was every single day, I think, he was chugging a beer in a different Southern California location. And he could wake up one day and not feel like driving down to, you know, Escondido and taking a shot of beer, but he wants to keep the streak alive. He wants to keep doing it X number of days in a row, so he does it. That's what we're looking for right now, is you've got a streak going of something that you do, whatever it is. I think most of these are probably going to be everyday things, would you imagine?
I would guess, but I mean, it really does. The streak drives you more than what you want. Like
right.
sometimes you're just not in the mood. Bean tried to get his hair cut in all 50 states without repeating.
Yes.
That was his streak. And he,
that's right.
And he made it how many states before you gave up and quit like a loser?
I would prefer to look at it that way, but I don't know. I think I did about 15 in a row or something like that, where I managed to coordinate my travel schedule so that I got a haircut in Michigan, and then I got a haircut in Florida, and then I got a haircut in Iowa. But the key was, again, I didn't want to, you know, cheat in between and get a haircut at home. I wanted to always have them in consecutive different states, and then I just ran out of the time to do it. So I had to break the streak.
Plus,
and
it was
me.
A stupid streak.
Luckily, he didn't give a rat's ass about what his hair looked like most of the
no,
time.
No, I didn't. I would wait as long as it took until I could travel again to get it cut. I didn't drive to Idaho one time just because it was just getting super bad. But how about these people who, for instance, and you see a lot of these YouTube videos that people put together where they take a photo of themselves
yeah.
every day for like 8 years.
Daily selfie or whatever, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a guy named Noah. Remember that? And he had
yes, I do.
He's still doing it.
You watched him age through
yes.
the years
yeah.
as he did it.
It's
yeah.
fascinating.
So we are interested in what your streaks are at 1-800-520-1067. I will tell you, and this is going to be hard to believe that this is me, but I had a retail job as a teenager, and I got the same thing for lunch. It was pizza. I got the same pizza for lunch every single day that I worked for, I think it was around 6 months or so.
Okay.
That was my streak.
I guess I can see that, but did you do it because of the streak, or did you do it because you were still in the mood for pizza?
I don't know. I mean, I bet the streak had something to do with it, is I could get something else, but I could also keep the streak going and get pizza again today. I'm sure that was some of it. As stupid as that sounds, you do find yourself making choices like that sometimes.
I have a streak of hanging up on guests.
Don't let that go.
Really,
and you are undefeated, Kevin.
Really trying to make it happen.
So what is your streak? We want to hear about it. I don't think we'll get anything as crazy as going to Disneyland every day for over 1,000 days, but we want to hear what your streak is. Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next right after this on K-Rock. Taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Want to talk about what streaks you've got going in your life. Wow, we got some great calls and a couple of good emails, too. Travis writes in high school, I ditched school for 67 consecutive days.
Wow! That's commitment.
Then I was kicked out of school. Will writes in, hey guys, I had a streak of calling the Afro line every single day, even while my wife was in labor. I even called from the hospital, that's right, with mother effing doo-doo on it. Respectfully, Will. Remember that guy when he was calling us every single day?
Yep.
That was his streak. That was what he was choosing to do with his time.
These
every day.
Streaks are nonsense. They're never important.
Well, we haven't heard a good one yet. That's for sure. All right, let's try Veronica. She's on line two. We'll ease into this from Corona. Veronica joins us. Hi, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hi, and hello, Lisa May.
Hello.
What's your streak?
I did 102 days of posting jokes on Facebook, and when I stopped my streak, I got a lot of people asking for them still.
So you're saying one joke a day for 102 days?
One joke a day for 102 days, and sometimes I'll make up a joke. If you want to hear one, I've got it for you.
Wait a minute. Did you? Is this one you made up?
This is one I made up.
I would like to hear it. Bean hates jokes and hates telling of
jokes. All right, Veronica, before we hear this, how many people stopped following you on Facebook because of your stupid joke a day?
None.
Pete just hates jokes. All right, Pete, take your headphones off for a second. Go ahead.
Let's hear it.
Okay, here's the joke. What do you call it when a gymnast lends out her leotard?
Well, it's a well-constructed joke.
I don't know what.
Okay, here's the answer. Retard. Come on.
Hey, listen, she made it up.
She did.
I did.
Not good, but she made it up, and so you got to give her credit for that.
And she did sell it with enthusiasm. I got to give her some points for her gusto. All right, Veronica, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Let's go to, let's go to Chris. He's in downtown L.A. He is on line six.
All right. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Good.
So I have been eating Eggo Cinnamon Toast waffles every day for like 20 years since they were first introduced for breakfast.
Wow! Eggo's Cinnamon Toast waffles are awesome. First of all,
but on day 10, though, how is that still something that you crave?
Right, and then day 100 and then day 1,000?
You never wanted an omelet or something?
Not really. I mean, I eat them every day. They're good.
Do you live by yourself?
Of course. Let's not be ridiculous. Kind of like that. Yeah. Can't get a woman.
Listen to Chris. What about, do you ever travel?
Ooh, good question.
Not really.
Okay. Nope. Stay home because of the streak, Bean.
Right, exactly. Because yeah, I was going to say, on the road, that might be tough if you're in a hotel or something like that. So every single day, you've never missed a day over 20 years.
Yeah, since they first introduced the waffles.
That's
insane.
That's shocking. What about, do you have any other peculiar eating habits for the rest of the day, like for lunch and dinner? Do you have a thing that you do?
No, I'm more flexible for those. But for breakfast,
isn't that amazing?
The Eggo Cinnamon Toast Waffles.
I thought going to Disneyland for 1,000 days is unbeatable. This guy did this for over 20 years.
I can't believe that.
You crazy.
We're speechless. We're speechless, Chris.
I have nothing to say.
We really are. I mean, you will die of diabetes at 40, but thank you for calling. We really appreciate it, okay?
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Wow. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to Worm. He's on line three, and he's in Whittier. He's our people.
His name is Worm?
Worm, yes.
Hey, Worm.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, Lisa May.
Hi there.
How are you, our people?
I've been smoking weed since I was 18. I am 39 years old right now. I have not missed one day.
You smoke weed every single day?
Every single day.
For 21 years?
Yes.
How do you...
How am I actually getting stoned right now?
Okay, well, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all.
I don't doubt that at all.
You've never run into a supply problem in 21 years? The dealer was out or something?
Actually, besides my dealer, I go to my buddies and they usually smoke me up for free. They also call me FedEx because I'm always on time to smoke.
Huh.
I'm going to guess you've never flown anywhere.
Oh, good question.
Probably, like, I have it. Out of the country? I get it from other states.
Oh, so you'll fly to wherever and then locate the weed.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what's your deal, Worm? Are you a guy who needs a bowl in the morning to get going, or is it something you do to relax at night after work? Yeah, like you have a job. But what? how does it work into your day? You're retired. You're 39.
What are you retired from?
I have a congenital heart disease.
Oh, okay. Now
so you're on
like
disability?
Yes.
Does the weed help?
Sure, why not?
He doesn't know. Maybe that would be the reason.
All right, Worm, we'll keep doing what you're doing, I guess.
Oh, I'm not going to stop.
Nope. No, I don't think you are. Thank you for the call. This is crazy, these calls.
Wow, we were afraid we wouldn't get good ones.
Let's go to Michael in Irvine. I don't even understand what's up on the screen here, so let's have Michael explain.
Hey, Michael.
Hello.
What's your streak?
Hi there.
My streak is in Hearthstone. Blizzard Entertainment makes a game called Hearthstone that's kind of like Magic the Gathering meets World of Warcraft. And you can play for free or pay money if anyone's played Magic the Gathering. It's like $4 for a pack of cards. But with the game, you can play, do some quests, get some gold, and then do arena runs or just buy the packs out straight.
When I don't understand any of these words.
When did the game come out?
The game's already been out for a few months.
Okay, but what is your streak, though? I didn't hear what your streak was.
Okay, sorry. The streak is that I'm trying to set the record or break the record for the most packs opened in one go that were earned for free. Like, didn't pay anything for them.
You have to take that long.
I'm half Chinese. I'm a stereotype, I know.
Honestly, you should try women. They're the best.
They are awesome.
Yeah.
Or weed. I mean, any of the other caller suggestions would beat whatever it is you're trying to do here, Michael.
I work two jobs. I'm in the game industry in one of them, so this is actually kind of like work.
Okay. But look, I understand. Look,
it's a cover job, but okay.
Michael, I understand if you want to beat a game, get to the highest level, the highest score, whatever it is. But the streak that you're describing is the number of free packs that are opened on a game. I mean, that's not even a real thing, right?
You can check Reddit. It's actually a thing. Like, people will video it. Kotaku wrote an article trying to break down the statistics of, what are the odds of opening it? Oh, okay, the reason it gets exciting for some people to watch is because when you open it, there's four different classes of cards: commons, rares, epics, and legendaries.
You don't have to tell us.
0.5% chance of cracking open a legendary. And so gamers, it's when they'll freak out if you open up a really awesome card. It's like, holy crap, you got that card I want so bad, and it would cost a ridiculous amount to try and get in the game. It's a mix of the odds, just being lucky as hell, combined with if you want to grind it away in the game, it would take, I don't know, weeks or months to just craft that card yourself.
Michael, will you marry me?
Are you asking me that just because I have Asperger's syndrome?
As long as you're getting other gamers to freak out, that's as worthwhile a goal as anyone needs, I guess.
Yeah, no. Thanks. We all have our hobbies, right?
Dude, good luck with that. We think.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
If you're on the South 5 at Tustin Ranch Road, a collision with a, what do they call those? Doesn't matter.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
I would think if someone ran into something, it does matter. I would argue just the opposite.
What was it, Lisa?
I was actually going to say airbag. I could not think of the word airbag because when the airbag goes off, it takes them a lot longer generally. It just means it takes longer to clear the accident.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And it didn't matter. I don't even know why I was going to mention it.
Matters to us.
Gives a rat's ass.
Matters to me because...
It sounded like someone hit something on the freeway the way you were saying it.
I know.
By the way, so rare that we have a moment with Lisa.
I know.
This is really a red-letter day.
Play it again. Play it again.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
If you're on the South 5 at Tustin Ranch Road, a collision with a, what do they call those? Doesn't matter.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
The real Lisa. She doesn't give a rat's ass what happened to you
people
out there on the road.
It's true. That's
she
her
does
right.
Not
thing
care.
That, you know, when you hit
doesn't
and
matter
then it
whatever
into
you
your
hit.
Face,
she
that
doesn't
thing. What's
care.
That called?
Whatever. She, whatever. It doesn't matter. She doesn't give a rat's ass about you people.
I may be a little drunk.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's for sure, obviously. Hey, the list is coming up. just after 9 o'clock that we're going to talk to, who makes a very compelling case. Now, I know, Muggs, your initial instinct is going to be to shut this guy down, but let's hear what he has to say of why we should fire Muggs and hire him to work on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Done.
Well, let's hear what he says. Let's let him present his case.
I don't need to hear what he says.
He is a Kevin and Bean listener who started a – he's got a website up with lots of reasons why he would be a better choice than Muggs to do his job.
Okay,
so,
he gets it. He wins.
Let's talk to him coming up after the news. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
Why don't you take yes for an answer?
We may. We just want to talk to him.
Yes.
All right.
Well, no, at least interview the guy.
Well, how much worse could he be?
He could be Worm. Smoking weed every day for 21 years.
I'll bet
that
guy's sharper than Muggs.
Bring on Worm is what I say. my new website, bringonworm.com.
How about the Magic the Gathering guy with all those free packs?
Yep.
What about that
him
guy?
Too. Hire him too. Bring them all on.
I love it.
Here's some good news. FCC just announced they have voted to eliminate the blackout rule.
Wow. I know that there's been a lot of pressure, especially this year, for that to happen, but they're really doing it?
A 40-year-old regulation on the books that helped keep NFL games off of our television when a city's hometown failed to sell it out.
So if it's not
a... If it wasn't a sellout in your hometown, if your local NFL team couldn't fill up a stadium, you couldn't watch it on television as long as there were tickets remaining. Someone would have to step in. Sometimes a sponsor would, you know, your local Ford dealership, whatever, would come in and buy up all the unpurchased tickets so that it could air and their commercials could be seen. But often, you would just get nothing or another game from another part of the country because you couldn't watch your home team.
How about that?
That rule has been rescinded, eliminated, no longer a deal.
How about that?
The NFL apparently not happy about it.
The NFL, yeah, sure. That policy was there because they wanted to sell the tickets, right?
Yes, Kevin. They wanted to sell tickets to their event.
Well, I know, but I mean, you know, they would actually take it out on the rest of the fans because they didn't have a sellout.
Yeah.
Thank God. That's cool.
Now, however, the FCC wants everyone to know this does not prohibit the NFL and local teams from negotiating rights with local television stations.
Oh.
Regarding their own blackout policy, if that's, in fact, what they want to do.
So let's say you live in San Diego and they don't sell it out.
Whatever the local station there is.
Can make a deal, a side deal.
The NFL can go to them or whatever and say, look, we're not going to give you the rights to air this or whatever if there's no sellout.
But now it's a conversation between two businesses. The government is out of it.
That's the thing. The FCC wants you to know it's not them. If blackouts exist, it's not the Federal Communications Commission, they said in a statement today, so...
I never in a million years thought I'd be on their side.
Now the FCC says they're getting an enormous amount of pressure from most of America to ban television broadcasts of baseball. They're trying to get that banned from television.
any game anywhere?
Any game anywhere because people just say, it's impossible to watch! It's too long and boring!
How about the F word? Is that still a no?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think they're still firm on that one, unfortunately.
Okay. I'm out of time already.
What? You just got started.
I know.
What?
We have to play Lisa May's Moment with one more time.
Oh,
that's all I have
God
time
sakes.
For. That's all I have time for.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
If you're on the South 5 at Tustin Ranch Road, a collision with a, what do they call those? Doesn't matter.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
No sympathy for you, drivers.
Sometimes you just gotta bail.
And she's our source for traffic, by the way.
Whatever.
Doesn't matter. Collision.
Let's go somewhere else.
That's what she's saying. Today's celebrity birthdays. Barry Williams, Greg Brady, the Brady Bunch is 60 years old today. Fran Drescher's 57. A lot of pressure for Fran Drescher Bell, by the way.
What?
Yeah. Really? For a bell?
A lot of pressure.
I thought
for
you
Fran
were talking
Drescher
about
bell.
The Bean interview. I didn't realize.
Well, that too. Listen.
Oh, Fran Drescher Bell.
Look, if you never heard her talk, if you just looked at her.
The case has been made that sound down, you might fall for that. What do you guys think?
I think it's a legitimate argument.
I don't think so.
I think it's a legitimate argument to make. I think she's always been very attractive.
It's legitimate, but I come down on no.
Getting similar heat on Jenna Elfman this morning as well, by the way, Ralph.
I hear that, too.
A lot of people think she's very, very attractive. I mean, it's...
Look, it's a used tough. To be, Belle.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do with either one of them.
Uh-huh.
Mm. I mean, because she's got the voice, and the other one's got the Scientology, so that kind of detracts from their hotness.
The only thing I can figure out is to play the Lisa May moment with. Again.
One more time?
That's all I can.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
If you're on the South 5 at Tustin Ranch Road, a collision with a, what do they call those? Doesn't matter.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
Well, that's something we could all agree on.
I'm Ralph Kramer, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, earlier this morning, Steve Aoki stopped by the Kevin and Bean Show. He's got a brand new album called Neon Future Point One that's out, available for download today. You can hear that interview up at krock.com. I also just found out that we are streaming next week's release of the brand new Weezer album at krock.com. Get a chance to hear the whole thing ahead of it coming out. And Weezer is going to be here on Friday performing live on the Kevin and Bean Show right about this time. So I hope you'll make plans to join us as well.
Pretty cool. Fire beer mug has been a thing for quite some time.
Uh-huh.
Listener Sam has taken it a step further, and we'd like to talk to him about that. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. I had an idea, and I posted it online, and we'll see where it goes.
And here we are. See, here's the thing. 99, tell me if I'm wrong on this, Kevin. 99.9% of the listeners to the Kevin and Bean Show have all thought at one time or another fire beer mug, right?
Right.
That's about accurate. But how many of them take it to the next step and don't just complain about the problem, but offer a solution? And that's where Sam comes in, because Sam has come up with an idea that not only takes care of firing beer mug, it also gets him hired on the Kevin and Bean Show to do that job.
And it's on a website. So, Sam...
Yes.
Give us some of the reasons, because you put up 21 reasons to fire a beer mug.
That's right.
Give us some of those, if you don't mind.
Let's see. Some of them is, before I steal people's food, I can ask them, are you going to finish that first?
Okay, good.
That would be some courtesy that we have not enjoyed with beer mug, who pretty much just waits for you to turn your head, and then he just grabs whatever's on your plate.
I've noticed that, yes. I probably will not hang up on people. Especially if they sold more than 50 million albums.
Yeah, beer mug.
I probably can get every sound clip ready before anybody can think of it.
Okay, good.
Oh, wow, that's impressive.
That's impressive. Yeah,
I see here that you'll play along with my sexual advances. That's nice.
If that's what it takes, I'll do it.
And you mine have, too. You're a trooper.
Right.
Sam, do you have any radio experience?
I do not. Not a, this is it, basically.
Okay.
I see here that you're willing to change your name to Steve, so Hit It Steve would make sense.
That's right.
That's a good idea.
you live in Phoenix. Is that going to be a problem?
No. Whenever you're hiring me, I'll be there the next day.
Ready to move? All right. And you stream the show there, or you listen to the podcast?
I stream as much as I can, but at the end of the day, I listen to the podcast.
And when did you first start thinking this beer mug guy seriously has to go?
Pretty much when Psycho Mike left and Beer Mug showed up.
No, so first day?
First day, yeah.
Because that was a pretty obvious drop-off in quality, right?
Right. I figured now I have a shot at it.
Number 7 on your list is Me, Myself, I'm Not a Drummer.
I am not.
How do you think you would do on some of those out-of-the-studio jobs that we send Beer Mug on, like doing interviews on red carpets or at the Grammy roundtables or things like that?
Well, my number one rule is I'll be on a word count for every question. So,
word count. Oh, that's good. That's good. Meaning it'll only be 10 or 20 words or whatever, but you'll stick to it.
Whatever number you come up with, that's what I'll stick to.
Okay. All right.
That's because Muggs has about 100 to 150 words per question policy.
I noticed that.
I will never use the bathroom at K-Rock, not even for number one. Wow, wouldn't that be nice?
I got to tell you, in all honesty, Beer Mug leaves the studio, I'd say 4,000 times a day. And Bean and I go, what could he possibly be doing right now? Like, no one could go to the bathroom that much. No one can eat that much.
I know.
You got a leaky gut or something, right, Muggs?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, good.
You notice that Muggs has trouble writing the correct name and the correct phone line and the correct column on the collar monitor. You'll take care of that. And number 17 on Sam's list of why he wants to replace Beer Mug, and I don't know what this has anything to do with, but I think I'm with him, is Ryan Seacrest is a dick, right?
All right, good.
I just wanted to put that on the table so that everybody knows.
Number 20 is my head. yell at the end of songs. We'll be strong and precise.
Ooh, that's right. Like that. That's right. Manly.
Yeah, we do fall apart when it comes to that. And number 21, and perhaps the most important one on Sam's list, is I will walk around with a stepladder to help Chip reach things like doorknobs or doggy doors.
Which is very helpful. See, she's not large.
No.
Right, exactly.
Thing about her.
Well, I've heard enough, you guys. I'm ready to make the change. What about you?
You're
guys?
In?
There's a lot of equipment to run. Are you good with that?
I'm a quick learner, so I can do whatever you need me to do.
Well, I don't know why I asked that, because Beer Mug's not good with that.
What kind of job are you doing now, Sam?
I run a family business, and I do programming on the side, too, for websites and stuff.
Oh, smart computer guy. Okay, well, this is a little bit of a – this is kind of a downgrade for that, but the benefit is you get to live in beautiful, sunny Southern California, so you got that going for you.
And I get to improve the Kevin and Bean show.
Oh, absolutely. All right, we'll see you here tomorrow morning, buddy. Thanks.
I appreciate it, guys.
Bye now.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
If you're on the South 5 at Tustin Ranch Road, a collision with a what do they call those? Doesn't matter.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
I am a professional.
I can learn
look
from Lisa.
Lisa doesn't care.
I can learn what you
right, man. She doesn't care what you
sometimes
did.
Sometimes you need to cut and run. That's what I've learned
from you
on this
to cut
show.
And run. I don't do that. I stick with it, and it hurts.
Well, that
me.
Is true. You yeah. do.
I could learn that.
Well, you have so much like, to say, Kevin. You have so many
thank you, Ralph.
Things in your mind you need to share.
Thank you.
All of like how Lisa does extreme traffic, man. She doesn't care, man.
Right. Yeah. Whatever. Collision with. Doesn't matter.
You're stuck. You're not going anywhere. What do you want from me?
Hope you die on the road.
I like it.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
If you're on the South 5 at Tustin Ranch Road, a collision with a, what do they call those? Doesn't matter.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
Exactly.
All right, Ralph is here. You want me to drain your vein? I'll drain your vein.
No.
Come here. Bring your vein over here. I'm going to drain it.
I don't think that's how this works,
that's
Ralph. Have you done some research?
I'm draining veins.
I don't think so.
I am draining veins.
I don't
veins.
Think that's you. I think you're there. I'm not sure you're the one draining.
Well, I'm not showing if I don't get to drain veins.
Well, I think we have professionals to do that.
How do you know I'm not a professional vein drainer?
Just a hunch.
Someone get me a needle. Let me show Lisa how I drain a vein.
Just a hunch.
It's K-Rock's Vein Drain Blood Drive this Thursday, October the 2nd at Universal Studios Hollywood. I will be there all morning long from 6 a.m. until the end of the show. The drive goes on from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. There are a ton of prizes will be given out just for coming down. You don't even need to give blood and you can get something. But it would be really rude of you to show up and take our prizes. And not
it'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Hi, this is David Hasselhoff.
I don't have time for you right now.
I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Well, we're going to have tickets for Festival Supreme, which is great. That's the Tenacious D Comedy Festival, which is awesome. Bastille.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean,
come down to Universal Studios. Universal Studios Blood Drive, Bastille, Jimmy Eat World, Black Keys, and more. You can get all the details at krock.com.
Jeff, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
what?
Oh, I thought that one just ended.
Because what, Dave? Dave, because what?
Yeah, and
continue what you were saying before.
Rooms at the Marriott available,
continue your previous statement that you stopped yourself from talking about.
Major fan of K-Rock. I'd love to, introduce the Red Hot Chili
I'm
Peppers.
I'm starting to think this isn't a real conversation.
You mean it's on tape?
I'm starting to think it's someone just playing clips of David Hasselhoff.
Don't be ridiculous.
Poorly edited clips from David Hasselhoff.
How far is the festival from the Marriott?
Well, now I know it's fake because it's not even a festival. It's a blood drive, and there's no Marriott near there.
Maybe he feels like a blood drive is a festival.
There's a Sheraton and a Hilton, but there's no Marriott. This is bogus. I'm calling BS.
And when did the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
I'm not answering you. You're a tape. it's a tape. This is shenanigans.
You're calling shenanigans?
I'm calling
on
shenanigans.
Hass? Or Hoff?
Pretty strong language,
Ross. Call them?
Hass.
Hass? Hoff?
No, what is that? One or the other? When has he ever been referred to as the Hass?
Well, I just did. So once.
You want to go see Garfunkel and Oates?
Yeah!
The kids do.
October the 16th at the Avalon, plus a meet and greet with the band. You love them? You love their little videos online. You've loved them on IFC. They've got their hilarious TV show. Now you can see them live at the Avalon.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how
October
to get tickets
the 16th.
If I get down there.
Call me now. I've got one pair of tickets, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 16 will win a pair of tickets to see Garfunkel & Oates. If you don't win, tickets are available at LiveNation.com. You can go to LiveNation.com.
Yeah, but where do I? Where can I get them? I mean, like,
LiveNation.com.
Where is there?
LiveNation.com.
Hey, sounds great.
Catch Mama. Jeopardy is in trouble.
Jeopardy is in trouble.
Yeah,
bro. Why?
Because the category they had last night was unbelievably sexist, according to women who follow such things and get offended.
But, sis, when do we care what women think?
Apparently Jeopardy doesn't. The category is called What Women Want.
Uh-oh.
And here are some
trouble.
Of the clues.
That sounds like trouble. Wait, let me guess. Money, jewelry.
A pair of jeans that fit well. Like the 525s from this brand, was it one of the answers that flipped around on the board.
Wow.
Sounds like a sponsor.
What are Levi's would be the answer to that.
Yeah.
What do women want for $400, Alex? A few moments of quiet to do this, especially the one edited by Will Shorts in the New York Times. What is do a crossword puzzle, Alex? You know, women love to do a crossword puzzle.
Well, this is stupid.
These are all commercials.
That's my problem with it.
Some help around the house? Would it kill you to get this Bissell bagless canister out of one of these every once in a while?
That is not true.
What is a vacuum cleaner?
That's
Alex?
Not true. That didn't happen.
That happened.
How could this have gotten on the air in 2014?
Ralph Garman.
See, that's a clue. What do women want for 800? Before bed, a cup of this herbal tea from Celestial Seasonings.
What the hell?
All right.
So women want a vacuum. They want a cup of tea. They want to do a crossword puzzle.
And they want good jeans.
And they want some jeans that fit.
They want whatever sponsors we have that we need to work into our show.
So
what women want.
Women are very upset about that.
They also want
Ralph Garman.
Well, that should have been one of the clues right there.
You didn't pay.
And women also want big.
Now I have to hit the dumb button. Yes.
You thought I was going to say that.
Well, I was afraid you were going to say it.
Well, I didn't.
You did the second time.
What?
Yep.
Are you sure? Maybe
pretty
David
positive.
Hasselhoff said it.
Nope.
You sure?
Pretty sure.
All right.
Jeff, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
it's filthy.
Yeah, come down tonight and pick up something.
Pick up something. I don't have any birthdays here. Somebody's birthday.
You care about birthdays like Lisa cares about traffic.
Oh, here
by the way.
Not important.
All these people are celebrating birthdays today. Well, it really isn't important to celebrate birthdays. It's just become sort of a fun wrap up for the show, for the segment, but nobody really cares about the birthday.
But it does sometimes
give
us.
If I don't do them, or if I forget someone in the list,
yeah.
Then I get a lot of stick from people.
There's
really
hell
understand.
To pay.
It's very strange.
People care a lot about the strangest things on this show.
They sure do.
I like it because it gives us sometimes an opportunity to talk about somebody that we ordinarily wouldn't get a chance to, that we haven't spoken to of recently.
You know what I would do before I get to birthdays real quickly? Just post it on YouTube, give it a heads up, the trailer for Taken 3. Taken 3 is coming out.
Ooh, nice.
They just released the trailer. If you want to go check it out, it's on YouTube.com. I just found it this morning, so I wanted to give you a heads up. It is Liam Neeson. He sure is
does he have
some
a,
ass.
Does he have a set of skills?
He's got a set
unique.
Of skills. Well, you remember the first one, his daughter got kidnapped.
Right.
If you hurt her, I'll kill you. That phone conversation happened. Then it was his daughter and his wife in 2.
Right.
And now, spoiler alerts. It's right there in the trailer. His wife is murdered, and he's framed for the murder. So the cops are coming after him, and he has to go on the run, almost like he's a fugitive of some kind. And there is Forrest Whitaker, who plays a hard-boiled marshal who is hunting him down.
Right.
As if Forrest Whitaker is the marshal, and Liam Neeson is the fugitive.
Are you saying that this perhaps has been made before?
I don't know about that, but it does seem reminiscent of another film. I can't think of it off the top of my head right now, but I feel like I've seen it before.
Something with a fugitive in it, though? A film that had a fugitive maybe running around in it? But we can't think of the name of it?
Could be.
Yeah, I can't help you.
Is the name fugitive part of the name of the movie?
Here's a little piece of the trailer from Taken 3.
If you go down this road, the LAPD, the FBI, the CIA...
going to come for you. They'll find you. And they'll stop you. Good luck.
Good luck. Who wins between Liam Neeson in Taken and Denzel Washington in his new film that's out this week?
I don't know.
Like to see those two doing a stare down.
I don't know the backstory of either of them. I do not. I'll reject it totally. Who's got ice cream?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Barry Williams is 60 years old today. Greg Brady, the Brady Bunch. Fran Drescher is 57. Eric Stoltz is 53. Monica Bellucci. She's 50 years old today. Tony Hale is 44 years old. Jenna Elfman's 43. Marion Cotillard is 39. Lacey Chabert celebrates her 32nd birthday. Actor Kieran Culkin is 32. And T-Pain, the rapper, is 29 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Jorge Garcia, or as I referred to him before, the guys will not let me forget, Jose.
Yes. You did call him Jose.
I called him Jose.
On the radio. So,
and you'll probably do it again tomorrow, because now that's all you're thinking about.
It is, yeah. Because you guys have reminded me of it about five times, and it takes about twice, and now I'm going to call him Jose, so I apologize in advance. Jeff Reitz is the name of the guy who has gone to Disneyland over 1,000 days in a row.
It's insane.
Going to talk to him.
I'm going to stop him.
Are you?
Yeah, like Liam Neeson is taking the race. I'm going to stop him.
Brand new internet roundup. We have Kevin Williamson on the program tomorrow talking about Stalker. And there's some new music from an artist by the name of Jaden Smith.
What the what?
Will Smith's kid, Jaden Smith, is back. We will go through it in painstaking detail tomorrow morning.